So how do we feel when we're so stoked about a video? We love how the DIY turned out, and then we just get hate about it and people don't like it.
There's two ways I look at this. Hi guys, and welcome back to ALAAL. This is a podcast by Kelsey and myself, Becky, also known as the Sorry Girls. On here, we like to chat about things going on in our lives, the different ideas we have about the world, and respond to our audience and more. We hope you guys will end up knowing a little bit about a lot more things. So today we're going to be talking about the DIY and creative process.
Ooh. Speaking of creative process, we had such a creative day, I think.
Yeah, we had a fun little photo shoot, some new promotional stuff for us, and we took an awesome photo with the whole team. It was so cute.
Okay, so guys, we tried. Okay, how did this start? It started because Claire wore her corduroy pants to the office, and then I was like, oh, we all have like so much corduroy. That'd be such a vibe. And in my head, I'm picturing like corduroy overload. And I was like, guys, everybody should wear their corduroy. So we all wore corduroy today and we were like, let's take a cute photo. But then I feel like in the end, it just didn't look overly corduroy, which is okay. But moral story is corduroy's in style right now.
It ended up just looking like a bomb photo of the whole team that was coordinated.
Oh.
So before we get into more of the creative process, I want to read some emails that we get from our listeners, some responses they've had from previous episodes. Okay, so this first one comes from Katie, and it's in response to our Tea with Canada episode. So I'll read the email and then we can discuss. So she says, hey girls, first off, I love your videos and I love the new podcast. I watch and listen to them all the time. I just wanted to go over what you guys mentioned about LA. I've lived in LA my whole life, and I was raised in the Valley, hashtag Valley Girl, so I can safely say there is no way the rent is $4,500 American. We aren't that crazy, I promise. It's more like $1,200 to $2,500 for a one-bedroom, depending on where you live. In the Valley, it does tend to be on the lower range, but it totally depends on where in the Los Angeles County you live for an overall estimate. Of course, if you live in Beverly Hills or Santa Monica, it will be around $4,500 for one bedroom, but on average, it tends to be what I said before. Not everyone lives in those areas, and LA is such a big place that you'll get a lot more variations in rent prices.
That's true.
Also, LA does have seasons, written in that SpongeBob meme-like sassy font. I love that. Just not super extreme. You can tell when it is fall, spring, winter, and summer. Fall is the easiest to tell in the Valley because of the strong smell of pumpkin spice lattes wherever you go.
Wait, shut up. Not even like the smell of pumpkin, but the smell of pumpkin spice lattes.
I love that.
Hilarious.
It rains here and gets cold, I promise. And even though I've never seen falling snow in my life, oh my goodness.
Come to Canada.
I can safely say that it gets really cold during the winter. It won't get higher than 55 degrees Fahrenheit most of the time, and it consistently stays sweater weather. And this winter, most likely due to climate change, it actually snowed in some parts of the Valley for the first time in like 40 years. Pretty much to sum it up, rent is sort of expensive, but definitely not $4,500, and we have subtle seasons, but they're still obviously there. I hope you learned a little more about LA.
A little more about LA.
Okay, I love that. It was like informative, but funny, and I definitely learned a lot. So thank you, Katie.
Thanks, Katie.
Okay, do you want to read the next one?
Sure. Also, I have a funny story about the name Katie. When I was a kid, I was playing in the pool, and my mom's friend's daughter was over, like, we were all hanging out, and then my mom's just like, what do you guys want for dinner, Katie? Do you guys want Katie? That's Kraft Dinner. I think that's a Canadian thing, but KD stands for Kraft Dinner. And this girl named Katie just starts bawling, because she thought we were saying, do we want Katie, as in her name, not KD, as in the macaroni and cheese pasta. And we didn't, like, know this girl because it was, like, my mom's kind of new friend and her daughter. And we're just like, what is wrong? And then, like, the little girl whispered to her mom. And her mom was like, oh, she thinks that we're eating her for lunch. And I'm like, oh, God, no. No, honey. Don't worry. Anyways, I digress. So this next letter is from Kimberly, and she wrote in regarding the Making Friends episode. Hi, ladies. I love listening to your podcast, and as a Canadian now living in the U.S., I also love getting a little dose of Canada through your awesome YouTube channel and now the podcast, too. I want to reach out as I have many times had to experience all the feelings around making new friends as an adult. I moved cities 4 times in the last 10 years for different jobs, grad school, and most recently, I've moved from Canada to the U.S., each time I face having to make new friends as an adult. Don't know why I said that weird.
Adult.
Old. For me, I have noticed how I go about making new friends has depended on my age and life stage at the time. It was much easier to make new friends as a single grad school student, and a bit more complex now as I'm married and in a completely new country where we literally knew no one when we arrived. We've had some success making great new couple friends, which is great, but that's very different than finding new girlfriends to hang out with. Still working on that. Two things I wanted to pass along on this topic. I'm ready. One, I have a 30-minute more rule when I do something solo, and the goal is to meet new people on my own. Often at a party or at an event on my own, I feel like it's awkward to go strike up a conversation with someone I don't know, and it will feel easier to give up and go home. But then I tell myself, 30 minutes more first. Most times when I've stuck it out for an extra 30 minutes, I find someone interesting to talk to or something exciting happens, and all of a sudden things turn around and I've ended up having a way better time than I expected. I guess this is helpful for anyone who feels the anxiety and pressure of new situations when you don't have a wingman or wingwoman to hang out with. I love that rule.
That's so good, because sometimes it can feel like your options are either go home right now or stay the whole time, which I don't know, could be hours, and like both of those seem daunting. So the only 30 minutes makes it really easy.
30 more minutes. Okay, second point. Science suggests that one of the reasons we develop close relationships, romantic, friends, whatever, is through divulging vulnerable personal information. I feel this. I feel like this is such a thing. If I like tell somebody something a little bit personal to me, they're like my friend right away. There's this really cool research study that has been popularized in the press. This is a great overview via the New York Times. She added a link. I will put the link on the blog. Where strangers were paired up and given a list of questions to ask each other. Through a short period of time, the people created an intensely deep connection. Due to the type of information the questions elicited. If you look at the list of questions, it's clear that some of the information the questions ask are about the types of things that you will likely know about a long-term friend who you have a deep relationship with, because over time you've divulged key information that isn't usually shared in the more surface level conversations when you don't know someone very well yet. While this doesn't tell us how to find new friends, it may help us create meaningful relationships with new friends despite not having the lengthy history that we often associate with our long-term or childhood or high school relationships. Keep the great podcast content coming, from Kimberly. Yeah, I'd like that.
I feel like I know this, and I've always known this too, that the more deeper things you discuss and divulge, the much closer the relationship would be. I think I always just have this fear that I feel like I'm offloading too much onto someone that I just met. But I guess I should try this more often, because it's clear that it works.
Yeah, and like I guess there's kind of two ways that it can go. Either somebody relates to what you're saying, or like feels empathy for it, and then it brings you closer, or they're like, what the hell? What is this girl talking about? And then you scare them away. But if you're scaring somebody away by like saying too much, then maybe they're not ready for that type of relationship. I don't think you're going to scare away somebody who's like meant to be your best friend if you're like oversharing too soon, you know?
That's true.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for those letters. If you want to send in anything, you have any opinions, comments, questions, from things you've heard us talk about here, you can send that into podcast@thesorrygirls.com. That's an email for the podcast, for your letters to the editor or podcast producer, I guess. And we're looking forward to hearing from you. But on that note, should we move on to talking about the creative process?
Mm-hmm.
That thing we do all day, every week. How do we explain it?
Well, there's a couple ways that a video might come to be. I think the first main way is just that we need to film content because we're on a schedule. So we might be looking at our calendar and say, okay, in 2 weeks' time, we don't have a video planned. Let's figure out what we want to do for that. And then in terms of figuring out what that video might be, there's a couple different ways it might happen. Sometimes it happens when we have a really exciting idea or like a really cool DIY that we've wanted to do. Like maybe I saw this chair recently and I absolutely love it and I want to figure out how to make it. So then we're like, well, yeah, let's do it because we're like really inspired by this one thing. Or maybe it's the case in which we have a series that we do similar videos all the time and we want to do another episode in that series.
Yeah. Can I quickly name off our series? Mm-hmm. We've gotten so many over the years. I've had people ask this to me. They're like, how many series do you have? I'm like, I don't even know. But we have Thrift Flip, where we flip makeover things from the thrift store. We have Style Selected, where Becky and I both design a space and then we'll completely make it over. That's one of our larger makeover series. We have had Loft Vibes, where we make over our loft, although right now that doesn't have any new seasons planned because we don't have a need to make over our loft anytime soon. Pipe in if you think of any. College Try, where we do DIYs, but specifically if you're like a college or dorm student, not just in the decor realm, but like the tools that you need, we won't use like any power tools or anything that's like you wouldn't find in your dorm room.
There's the dollar store challenge, where we make things from solely dollar store items. Mm-hmm. There's the IKEA as is challenge, where we go to the IKEA as is section and make something out of an item there. Mm-hmm. There's ones that we've done a lot less of but are still series, like the make something with no money series, where we have to use items that we only find in our loft already, so it costs us nothing essentially.
And along that line, there's Instagram controls our DIY, where it's like the whole poll thing on Instagram where you're like this or that, and then there's also DIYing your DMs, mm-hmm. because we get lots of recommendations, lots of things to our Instagram DMs that our audience wants to see made. So we will directly take those and make them.
There is dorm makeovers that we do every fall.
Yeah, it's just called like dorm series. Very basic name. And then there's, I just lost it.
Something I can see becoming a challenge is the Ugly Thrift Store Challenge, which we just did one of them, but it did so well that I want to do them again and again. And that's where we find kind of the awfulest item at the thrift store and turn it into a fashionable clothing item.
Yeah, but like Becky chooses for me and I choose for her. Mm-hmm. So it's like kind of different than Thrift Flip. Mm-hmm. There's that costs how much?
Yep. That's where we try and recreate really expensive home decor items for a much less price.
I think that's everything. Isn't that crazy though?
There's so many.
That's crazy. Like, I remember when we first started Thrift Flip, that was our first series. And we're like, we're going to do this series thing. And now, like, every other video, almost like every video we upload is a part of some kind of series.
Well, it's so great because it gives you some sort of control when you're trying to come up with an idea. Because if the playing field is so wide that you can literally do anything you want, you easily become overwhelmed with the possibilities, mm-hmm. of there's so many things I can do and what do I do. But when you know, okay, I've got to do something that fits within this series, it's a lot easier to kind of narrow your thoughts on something that's actually doable.
Yeah, and I feel like the audience likes it too because they can say, oh, we want more Thrift Flips or mm-hmm. we want more Style Select episodes. It's like they know what series they enjoy the most. So it's easier for them when they're, you know, on our channel to go to the videos that they like seeing and also to like ask for new videos.
Mm-hmm, totally. So now we figured out what the video is going to be about. Then mm-hmm. it's time to actually figure out how to do said video. So sometimes it's research on how other people might have done the thing before.
Yep.
Or it's looking at photos to see how it maybe was done in like a retail sense. Or it's just coming up with a kind of plan for it in our head. Maybe it's drawing it out on the whiteboard. I think it might look like this. I think it might involve these materials. Mm-hmm. Once we know kind of what the goal is, then we put together a supplies list, mm-hmm. which a lot of this happens in Google Drive. We absolutely love Google Drive.
Yeah.
We are like our whole team is on it and everything is organized there. We have folders per video. So we'll make a doc that is the supplies required to make the video. We'll break it out by store. Literally, like we need these things from the thrift store, these things from the dollar store, these things from the hardware store. And then we will go out and get all the things. Usually that's Claire. So shout out to Claire for picking up all of our supplies. And then, am I missing a step? Then we come back and sort of put together the project. That's the whole filming
setup. That can take like 1, 2, maybe 3 days. Obviously, like Style Selected are the bigger makeover ones take longer, but in IKEA as is, usually we can just like go to IKEA in the morning, work on it in the afternoon, and then the next day finish the project and then also do nice shots, which is what we do at the end of filming. It's like the nice final shots of the DIY we made.
And as we're doing everything, we're also getting photos, which go towards the blog post in the end that Daniela does, and all the Instagram posts that Daniela also does, which is amazing. And once, the product has actually been made and all the photos and videos have been done, then it gets sent to the various editors, Justin to put the video together, Daniela to edit the photos. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of where the work kind of ends on our end, I would say.
Yeah, and then, like Claire will do all the description and stuff once it's uploaded. Daniela will help, like, promote it and...
Typically, we still do the thumbnails.
Yeah.
So there's that.
I know. I wish we didn't have to, but just like, it's this weird thing where I don't even know what the right answer is. So then if I do them and it fails, I feel a lot better than if, like, the video, when I say fails, I mean if you make it and then the thumbnail doesn't do well, the video doesn't do well. Because thumbnail is something that we switch out if the video is not necessarily doing well. Mm-hmm. And I mean, as you guys probably know from watching YouTube or making YouTube content, that the thumbnail can be like make or break. You could have like, you know, a Game of Thrones episode. And if it doesn't have like a nice thumbnail, then nobody's going to click on it.
Plus, thumbnails are something I have a love-hate relationship with them, but I would generally say I still like making them. Like, it's fun for me.
Yeah.
Whereas video editing, we've offloaded to other people just because it didn't become, like, our main, like, focus.
Yeah. And it's not our strength.
Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of why we still do those ones. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, then once the video's been edited, I mean, we sit through lots of rough cuts to approve it and make sure it's going in the right direction that we want it to go. But once we've signed off, video looks great, it gets uploaded, thumbnails uploaded, all that good stuff, then it's live, and that's kind of, that's it.
That's all.
That's all, baby.
I feel like during that, like, inspiration process, that is so important, and it is sometimes hard to even know where you got inspired from different things. Like, even the terrazzo thing, it's just, like, you, it slowly creeps into your life, and then you're like, okay, now I want to DIY some terrazzo, because I've seen it places, I don't really necessarily even know where, on Instagram. I feel like just even walking around, like, the mall and just seeing like the displays and stuff, you get inspired. I take photos on my phone all the time.
That's why I always think too that if you're thinking about starting a YouTube channel, it's so important to make it something that you're generally passionate about anyways, because it'll be so much easier for you. If I had no love for home decor or fashion or any of that, coming up with an idea that would sell well for a home decor item would be so hard. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Whereas I always have these ideas in my head. Like, I always have so many cool trends that I want to do just because I find that so interesting for me. Like, everywhere I am, I'm always looking at how do people do their homes? How does a storefront design this, like, setup? What's on Pinterest? What are people wearing? What are the people I'm following on Instagram wearing? Like, it's always floating around my head because I'm so interested by that, which when it comes down to actually thinking of a video concept, it's much easier for me because all that has been percolating in my brain for, like, the last couple weeks anyways.
Yeah. And even, like, a video coming up that I want to do is the meal kit. Like, I personally want to try out meal kits. And then I was doing research and I couldn't figure out which one I wanted to try. And I was kind of getting conflicting results. So I was like, why don't I just try, like, all of the meal kits, or at least a lot of the popular ones, and then review them and then put that up on YouTube. And that's just, yeah, again, something I just wanted to do, and I was genuinely interested in meal kits. Mm-hmm.
Another big aspect of where ideas come from that we have yet to touch on is our audience engagement. It would be so hard to do YouTube if there was no feedback from anybody. Mm-hmm. So we get so many ideas written in the comments of YouTube videos, or even just, I like this or I don't like this. So getting to hear what people are also inspired by is a really helpful tool to figure out what we want to do next as well. Aside from what we like, we want to make sure that other people are going to like it as well.
Yeah. Luckily, our audience has very similar taste to us.
Yes. I don't know if it was chicken or egg, like if we started making stuff that we were into and then those people just found us, or we are so in tune with our audience that we're making stuff that they like too.
Yeah.
It's kind of all interwoven together.
Yeah. We've grown up together. I always say that, but I think it's really true. We're going to take a quick break now, but when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about DIY fails and all the hardships that go along with being creative and DIYing and building and making. But take a second for a quick break. Okay, we're back from our break, and let's chat a little bit about our favorite DIYs ever.
That's so hard because we've done so many, and they're all kind of like my own little babies that trying to pick is really difficult.
Yeah.
But we're talking about like the types of videos that get me most excited. I do love doing everything and dabbling in a lot of different things, but if you were asking me to be honest, my favorite types of things to make are larger scale furniture pieces. And I know that that's not something that we can make all the time because it's a little bit more work and maybe it requires a little bit more of the heavy duty tools to do. But that's what excites me the most. I think it's so fun to make bigger things. So one of my favorite videos of all time that we did was making a bed frame for myself. It was a platform bed. I saw this photo online, absolutely gorgeous, so expensive. So I thought, let's try and make it. And it turned out so good.
Wait, speaking of fails, though, bringing that bed frame into your house.
Yeah, I have a very tight staircase to get up to my bedroom. So we basically spent like a whole day and a half putting the thing together in the office and then spent the other half of the day taking it all apart to bring it upstairs to put it back together.
For the record, I thought we should have built it in your bedroom, but you said there wouldn't be room.
It would, yeah, it would be so impossible too.
Like, but that's what we did anyways.
But the filming of it would be so difficult.
Yeah.
It's a very tight space, so to get a camera in there and then to be sawing and painting and all that, there is no right answer there.
Everybody in the comments was like, why the hell did you guys go through all this trouble?
Because it looks awesome now and I love it. It's so good. And like nobody ever thinks that I made it.
That's true.
Which is great. That's the best. And people are like, where did you get that? And you're like, I made it.
Oh my God. The amount of times people ask me like, where did you buy this? I'm like, you know what I do for a living, right? Like, why wouldn't you just assume it's a DIY?
Because it's so good.
Yeah. Okay. Hairbrush, I guess so. So on that note, I do love the big DIYs. I love room makeovers because they're like the biggest DIY of all.
That's true.
They're DIYing like four walls and sometimes lots of things in those walls.
You have a favorite makeover we've ever done?
Oof. Okay. So Amanda Rachel Lee's space. She's a YouTuber. We did her condo, her like living room, dining room, office area. That one, like the style, it was just kind of like on par with what I like. So I loved it. Oh my gosh. There's so many. I like all of them. Angela's was like a patio, which is so gorgeous. Elle Mills' room that we did, I think it's just like insane how much it didn't look like it was a room in like a suburban house. Like it looked like she had a little corner of a loft to herself. So I thought that was so super cool. Do you have a favorite?
Yeah, I was going to say I think Angela's as well, because for the reason that we got to build her that giant like stand-up bar table. And I like building bigger things. It's cool. It's fun for me.
Yeah. So when it comes to those DIY fails, do you think we did more? Do you think we had more fails like in the beginning when we were less experienced? Or do you think I have more now or like?
I think they grow together like exponentially, because when we first started, we were doing much smaller projects anyways because our skill set wasn't so big. So we were making things. We were like painting mason jars and making that one whole video, which now like we would never, because we'd think that was too simple.
That's hilarious.
So we were doing easier things, which in hand makes them easier to do. But we were much less skilled, so there was the chance of mess up.
Yeah.
But now that we're doing much bigger and maybe more harder projects, the risk of mess up is even bigger, but since we're slightly more skilled now, it's less of a chance too. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the funny thing that really changed the most is how we dealt with those mess ups. So in the early years of our YouTube channel, like we would never admit that we messed up ever.
Yeah,
like if it was so bad, we would just scrap the video.
Yeah.
Or if it was minor, we would edit it out. Like it never even happened.
Yeah.
But now we love when it messes up. We can't wait because we know the video is going to do well if we say that it was a huge fail.
Yeah.
And people love to hear about the fails because it makes you feel more real because everybody messes up.
Yeah.
So I think now we're just more honest about them. Not like they didn't happen before, but now we just like to chat about them.
Yeah. And you can learn a lot from a fail, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
like if I messed up and I do this all the time, there's a good chance that other people might run into the same problem. So I want to share that, you know?
I know.
Have we ever started a project and like knew from the beginning it was going to be a fail though? Like I don't think so. Because I think if we're that early on, we know that it's going to be a mess up, like we won't even start it.
Yeah, we'll try to solve it. But there's definitely ones where we've walked into it and I'm like, I don't know. Like terrazzo, like straight up from the beginning of terrazzo, I was like, I don't know. Like, I've never done this before. I don't know how this is going to go.
And it's true. You
know how that went now.
But we pre-planned it out. Like, in our heads, it would have worked, right?
Yeah.
Like, we were like, we're going to build this frame. We're going to get this concrete. We're going to mix it. We're going to break the things. Like, in our head, like, best case, like, this is working.
Yeah.
So we always some sort of have, like, I never go into a video blind. Like, I always try and think through the steps in my head a little bit of, like, here's how I might do it to reach the end goal. So I always, like, sort of imagine that it's going to work before I start.
Yeah.
So it's only ever about like halfway or three quarters of the way through that you're like, wow, this is really not going the way I thought.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, I think there are ones, though, that are like harder that I'm like, I'm just nervous because I haven't done this before.
Mm-hmm.
Versus like, oh, if we need to like build a shelf, it's like, I probably know. But if it's like a new material or something, or like things sticking together. I feel like that always used to get us, eh?
Glue is the worst substance to navigate. Oh my goodness.
I know. We would like, I'd be like, we got this, we got this. We'd like try one type of glue, doesn't work. Try another type of glue, doesn't work. We're like, all right, super glue, I guess. Like, that's the last one to try.
And even that is iffy at best.
Yeah, it's actually crazy how many DIYs almost failed just because we were couldn't figure out the right glue to use.
So if we're ever like having to use a new type of tool or a new material, does that ever make you nervous that it won't do well?
Yeah, well, everybody when I was doing that terrazzo table, they were like, use resin. And I was like, I don't know how to use resin. Like, I know I could take the time to learn, but also resin is pretty expensive. And I was making a huge freaking table. So I was like, I don't really want to like learn and fail resin this first time making this huge table.
That's true. And resin might be like an outlier to what I'm about to say, but I feel like now, like almost 10 years into doing this, we have tried almost everything. So anything that we haven't used before is probably real complicated. And that makes me nervous.
Maybe. I don't know. When's the last time we like soldered something? I feel like that's not that hard.
Well, like that's what I was going to say. Like welding. Like that's like probably the next biggest thing that would be dope to learn. Like to make your own hairpin legs.
Yeah.
So cool. But like you're getting into more, way more complicated tools there, I think.
Yeah.
But
that like mask.
Yeah, exactly.
That, like, sparks will fly at you. Fire. And you're fine. Literal fire.
Do want to learn it though. Do. Just like slightly hesitant that when I do, it's not going to work out.
Well, also here comes our problem is that our audience, it's just like our audience isn't welders and they don't have the access to those things. That's why we had to create like things like dorm series. And sometimes when we're even DIYing, we're like, okay, let's not use a power saw right now because you don't have to use a power saw. Like it's just one little cut. So let's show that you can make this one little cut using a handsaw because not everybody has power saws. And if you do have a power saw, then you know you can make that cut with a
Power saw,
yeah.
So getting back into the creative process and how we define ourselves creatively, is there certain things that you think make us stand out more as a creative channel compared to like there's so many DIY people online nowadays, right?
There's so many DIY, but can we just talk about how much of a spectrum DIY is? Like DIY is everything from like literally like popsicle sticks and glitter to slime to like let's cut a t-shirt in half and call it a DIY to like building furniture and doing room makeovers and stuff.
It's very much like saying all the makeup people out there are the same, all the beauty YouTubers are the same, but that's totally not true. You have like your very glam beauty or you have your special effects beauty. Like there's such a range there too, and it's annoying to be clumped into one category.
Yeah, I hate the word crafts. Just don't ever use that word with me.
So is there certain things that you think we do? Like maybe it is the power tool aspect that define us in that spectrum?
Yeah, I think that makes us unique. But there is other people that use power tools too. But just, yeah, not a lot. And also I think that a lot of the power tools, because I've looked up like how to use a certain thing or like how to make a certain cut or I don't know, sometimes we need to like change the blade on our jigsaw. And I'm like, how do you do this? And if you look it up, it's always like, just some guy that's like either filming himself or just like on a tripod explaining you how to do something. It's not like this. It's not like what we do.
And I think it's the variety of what we do that helps to differ us too. A lot of people, I mean, we always say that finding your niche is really important, but a lot of people in the DIY like to do the DIY world, like to do one thing over and over again.
Yeah, that's true. Where, but like we sew or try to sew. Yeah, we sew, we build, we'll take on new things like maybe resin or like woodworking, wood burning,
painting, all that kind of stuff. And we have videos that are for a spectrum of talent or a spectrum of like abilities. So we have stuff that are really easy to do with almost no tools or very little supplies. Or we do have things that are a lot more complicated. Or we have things that are much more about styling a room and not really about building or making anything at all. We kind of offer it all, which I think is how we're able to grow our audience because somebody can find something that's of interest to them on our channel, or at least I hope.
I know. I feel like this whole podcast is just a big pat on the back to us. They're like, this is what we do.
Well, I mean, we found success with it, right? And I think people are curious about the way that we work, so I'd like to tell them about it.
We're sharing the knowledge. Dropping knowledge bombs is a new thing I'm saying. Dropping knowledge bombs all day.
All day, every day.
So how do we feel when we're so stoked about a video? We love how the DIY turned out and we're so excited to post it. And then we just get hate about it and people don't like it.
I mean, that's a very real problem, but there's two ways I look at this. One is I just always have to be confident in myself because I thought it was a good idea going into it. And usually I'm proud of the end result because we post the video. So I have that knowledge that, like, I thought it was a good idea. I'm happy with how it worked out, but maybe it wasn't for everyone. And then the second aspect to that is just using it as a learning tool, mm-hmm. and knowing what our audience likes and what they don't like. And maybe there's something about it that I didn't even realize was important to people that I didn't address or something. So now I can use that going forward, making sure I'm hitting those points that I know people really care about. So I think, for example, one of the ones I remember is when we were doing that Kosama episode, and it was West Elm, and we were recreating this tray, like a tray with handles. And I think the original photo had like these really fancy beveled edges that would require like a power saw set to a certain angle. And we chose to forgo that because we thought that we could get sort of the same effect as the original one, but on a much more doable level, like the average person could achieve it this way without the fancy edges. And a lot of people were upset that we didn't do it exactly the same way. So I guess from that, I learned that when it comes to that series, people don't care that it's necessarily doable for everyone. They just want to see you get as close as possible to the original product.
Yeah, I think also I just realized something. It's that our audience, they have grown up with us. They're so smart. They're just like us. Well, not just like us, but like they're, you know, we don't have an audience of 13-year-olds. We have an audience of people that are in very similar situations to us and similar skill levels to us. But also we are like DIYers, so we know a little bit. We know a little about a lot of different DIY techniques, but then we have people in our audience that like they know about resin or like they know about like embroidery or something. So there's something specific that they're like an expert in. So when we do something and we're like, okay, we have like a pretty good knowledge about a lot of different things, somebody that comes in that is like an expert, they're in our audience and they know how to tell us, which is good because we learn from that. But sometimes it's just like, it's crazy that our audience now is full of the experts.
Yeah, I feel like we have to constantly remind people, and maybe this is the reminder again on the podcast, is that we didn't take any official schooling for any of this sort of making or trade skills. It's all been self-taught out of passion, and we aren't experts on everything. We don't know everything. This whole YouTube channel is a giant learning process for us, so we're trying to get better. Your comments, when they're constructive and kindly worded, are awesome, and we love to hear them because we do want to get better. So, any dream DIYs or series or anything that you want to do in the future?
Like, what if I got a bigger space, aka not my apartment, and then I DIYed that?
Ooh, is that a teaser?
Nope. I don't have a space, but it'd be cool to have a space because, yeah, I just like to keep decorating. Wait. Actually, I do have a good one. That's one of them. It'd be dope to have, like, a large space. Like, I don't even want to say house because I don't know if I want a house, but a loft. I'd love to live in a loft again, but, like, my own loft, not the Sorry Girls loft, and decorate it. But own it so you can do more to it, right? Not be worried about things and landlords. But a series that I do want to do so badly is – are we allowed to talk about this? Because I actually want this to happen. Is this spoiling anything? Nobody steal my idea. Is makeover Airbnb spaces. Yeah. Literally, this is what I want right now. To work with Airbnb. They can sponsor it. We make over Airbnb spaces because doing slightly themed rooms is kind of fun. In not like a kitschy way. And I think Airbnb is the perfect opportunity to do that. And super unique spaces, right? Like boathouse or like... yeah, a cool loft or a yurt or whatever. All these cool spaces that are super unique that live on Airbnb that need makeovers. I think that would be so fun to do.
Yeah, that would be killer. And like manifesting it on the podcast. So if anyone knows Airbnb, you know,
hit us up. Oh my gosh.
One dream DIY I've had forever. And I want to say I'll get to it one day, but who knows? Would be to get like an old Volkswagen van.
Oh yeah.
Like a one from the 60s or the 70s and totally gut it and turn it into like the dopest travel van, VW bug van thing, you know?
Yeah.
But the only thing that's like semi-holding me back, but talking about learning new skills, is I feel like if I were to find an old Volkswagen van for affordable,
yeah,
it would need some not only interior updating, but like mechanical, like engine updating.
Yeah.
Which I'm not skilled in at all. So I'd have to learn that, because the thing would need to physically work and drive before it can look nice and house people.
Not that you need a man, but literally, isn't that what your husband does for a living?
Yeah, he knows a little bit about that. But I would love to learn it for myself, too. So maybe he can teach me, or, yeah, you know, I bet there's a bunch of YouTube videos out there on that kind of stuff.
Hey, my friend Sean Colburn.
I should hit her up.
Yeah, she, like, same thing. She just bought a car and, like, wanted to fix it up, or, like, a truck. Mm-hmm. She's going to get mad at me because I don't know the exact thing. It's like a Suzuki or something.
Yeah, so, I mean, who knows? That would be so fun for me.
But it is expensive. And, mm-hmm, like, yeah, she built this whole rig. Like, she literally spent so much time building a rig just so she could put the body of the car on it and, like, turn it. Do you remember this video?
I think so, yes.
Like, that's crazy. It's like making a DIY so that you can DIY your car.
I think we have done that before. We've built like a loom or something,
yeah,
that we can then weave on. So it's like a pre-DIY before the real DIY.
Whoa, DIYception. Mm-hmm. That'd be sick, though. I'm sure the audience would love to see you make over a Volkswagen van.
If you guys have any really cool out there DIY projects that you would love to see us attempt, email us at podcast@thestorygirls.com and we can read those out next time and maybe make some of them happen. Who knows?
Ooh.
Love getting inspired by you guys as well.
Yeah. All right, that's all we have for today. I hope you guys learned a little bit, a lot. We like chatting to you and hearing your letters, reading your letters, hearing your letters. We should do like a where they talk to us. If you guys enjoyed this podcast, make sure to rate it and subscribe.
And we will hang out with you guys next time.
Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.